I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you a talk on Jonah. I think we've, it's only vaguely on Jonah. I think we've had quite a lot about Jonah. I've entitled my talk, God Zooms In. The Good News Bible, I love the beginning of the book of Jonah in the Good News Bible. This is what it says. One day the Lord spoke to Jonah. One day the Lord spoke to Jonah. I think the other versions say the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and somehow Jonah seems very far distant and very superior. But here, one day the Lord spoke to Jonah. And that's how it is, I think. We get up every morning, the alarm goes, we jump out of bed. I don't nowadays, marvellous, but most people jump out of bed, have a shower, dress, have breakfast, go to school or college or work or whatever. And that's how it is, and that's how it goes on. And then suddenly, one day, God speaks. God speaks to us. I don't know about you, but that's how I found it. God zooms in. Do you know, the other day I was in Llanidwal. Haven't managed that walk for a long time, so I was really delighted to have got there and walked around the lake. And it was such a super evening. It was one of these lovely evenings last week, or the week before, I can't recall. One of these lovely late afternoon, I would say, and the light at Llanidwal, those of you who know it, it was just so magnificent. You could see the rocks reflected in the water, and it really looked, those rocks, the Llanidwal slabs, looked as though really it was down a depth. Didn't look like a reflection. It looked as though there was just a depth in the water. It was marvelous. Anyway, that's all by the way. And it was just so wonderful, and I was sitting there with a friend and just thinking, this is heavenly. And then, guess what? Zooming in came an aircraft. Zooming in. Now, you know, again, those of you who are in the mountains, you can be quietly getting on with climbing, and suddenly an aircraft zooms in. But of course, it's not always like that, is it? You know, you don't have the zooming in. It's sometimes just a very quiet whisper in which God speaks to you. So we'll think of the different ways that God comes into our lives, either the zooming way or just talking to us. Maybe, and that's what happened to Jonah. One day the Lord spoke to Jonah. I loved that video. I could just see Steve putting on his headphones to get rid of this voice, you know, telling him to do something. And my little bit about Jonah is going to be here now. Because really, the reason why Jonah wanted to run away was, why did Jonah really want to run away from God? Not because he was scared of anything. He just said, I know you are a kind God. And you will repent, you will change your mind. These people will repent and you will change your mind. And all the things that, all the destruction I have called down upon them won't happen. And I look a fool. That's basically why Jonah ran away. Not because he was scared. He didn't want to look a fool because he thought God would change his mind. And which did happen. So anyway, to come back to God zooming in. You know, over and over again, God just appeared to people and gave them either a job to do or told them to do something. And you know, we read these events in our Old Testament particularly, and it all seems just so distant and all these great people. But it is important for us to just look briefly at some of these people who God just came into their lives and spoke to them. You take Abraham. I have great sympathy for Abraham. He was 75 years of age when God said to him, get up and go. And some of you know why I have sympathy with Abraham. And God said to him, get up and go. And Abraham got up and went. Amazing, isn't it? Go to a land I'll tell you of. Not even get up and go off to Malaysia. No, get up and go to a land I'll tell you of. So that was God speaking to Abraham. And then just a few people. Moses. There's Moses minding his own business in the desert in Midian. He'd had a horrendous childhood and all that, you know, and also a very wealthy one. But as you know, most of you will know about Moses, how he had to flee because he'd killed people. And then he gets married, and then it's a peaceful life. And he's out in the desert there looking after his father-in-law's sheep. And then he sees this bush burning, and he thinks, oh, well, just let's go and see what's happening. And then he gets this, God speaks to him and says, get up and go. Go back to Egypt, to the place from which he had fled. Get up and go back to Moses. I'm sending you. I've heard the cry of my people. I've heard the cry of my people. And you know, even Nineveh, I know this wicked city, but you go and hear for Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. So I want you to go. I'm sending you. And of course we know Moses made all these excuses, you know, I'm rubbish. I'm rubbish. How can I do this? How can I do this? And this is what we tend to feel sometimes. You know, we have I can't do this. But anyway, Moses did go, and the people, the children of the Israelites, were saved. And then if you think it's just all these elderly or middle-aged strong men, you're wrong. Let's look at the New Testament just for a moment. Have a young teenage girl in her home, and an angel appears to her and says, peace be with you. You are going to have a son, and his name's to be called Jesus. A young girl sitting on her own, given this amazing task. So that's Mary. And then, of course, we have to go to the disciples, haven't we? You know, there are these men, Peter and James and John, and all on the lake and fishing and doing their own thing. And Jesus comes by and he says, just follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. Whew. You know, they'd built up a big business. I don't know, I've often wondered what their father thought about it all. It was his business. And here are all his sons just leaving it all to him and going off, you know. We're not told. Anyway, and they get up and they go. God just zooms in to their lives. And I mean, the world's been changed. We are here all because these disciples decided to follow Jesus. And then they went out into all the world to preach. And there was Paul. I have to mention Paul because we're here because of St. Paul, aren't we? You know, because he was the missionary to the Gentiles. And there was Paul again, I mean, different situation, but Paul, in a very dramatic way this time, in a dramatic way. Not many dramatic ways, but this was a dramatic way. Saul, as he was, heard God's voice and followed. And we are all sitting here because Saul obeyed, Paul obeyed, and he became the missionary to the Gentiles. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. You're in heaven somewhere. Thank you. But if again you think it's just all these strong men, you know, who outdoor pursuits type, you know, we've got so many in this congregation, these outdoor pursuits type, you know, these strong fishermen who are called because they've got the strength to go and do these things. No, that's not it at all, because you think of Matthew sitting in his office. Lots of us sat in offices, sitting in his office, and Jesus comes and says, "Follow me." And Matthew gets up and follows. But sometimes God zooms in into our lives, or comes into our lives, not just to give us jobs to do, but sometimes to encourage us. And my heart always goes out to Elijah. I'm just picking one person out, and Elijah came to my mind. Elijah, who had done so much, had done so much. You know, he had defied the prophets of Baal. Elijah, the prophet, he had defied the prophets of Baal, and there was this big showdown on Mount Carmel, and God proved that He was the Lord indeed. And, you know, Elijah wasn't scared of all these prophets. He wasn't scared of Ahab and the likes. And there's a showdown, as most of you will know the story. But then suddenly Elijah hears that Jezebel, the king's wife, Jezebel, was going to kill him. And this great prophet who had done so much is scared, and he runs away from Jezebel, because he's scared. And he goes and he sits under a tree, and he says to God, "I just want to die. Just want to die. Just take me. I want to die." And God says, comes in and speaks gently to him, tells him to go to Mount Sinai this time, not Mount Carmel, to Sinai. And then, you know, after a few events, God speaks to him. God speaks to Elijah and encourages him. And encourages him in a quiet, gentle voice. You hear, it says, he just heard a whisper. It was a whisper of God's encouragement. So sometimes God speaks to us and he gives us jobs to do. Sometimes if we're very low, maybe we've done lots of things and we're just feeling very, very low and depressed and just think, "I want to die." And God comes in and encourages. Now, so I want to say to you, has God spoken to you very specifically at any time? Again, most of the time we go along, you know, without hearing God speak or wondering where God is. But I'm sure most of you here will have known times when God has spoken to you. I thought I'd just share with you a couple of occasions when I felt that God was very, very, very encouraging. For myself now, and as again I say, I feel most of the time I wonder, I don't know where God is. You know, I just know that God is. I just know God exists, because I can't go out outside the mountains or sea or whatever and see all this beauty. So I do believe God is, but for most of the time I don't know where He is. I just know that He is. But every now and then I feel as though He comes and he knocks and says, puts His head round the corner and says, "Hello, Joan, I'm here. I am here, you know. I have seen you." Now, there was one occasion which really was quite an amazing occasion. I share two with you. One was an amazing occasion. Again, this was a long time ago. I don't, unfortunately, go uphills very much now. But I was going up with my husband near Moel Hebog. There are two little hills on the side of Moel Hebog. I have looked up the names for those of you who want to know. I think it was Moel Rogov, I think, was the one. Yes, Ian's shaking his head, so it must be right. So we were going up, and we parked our car in the Beth Gellert Forest. This is Beth Gellert. Parked our car in the Beth Gellert Forest, went up the hill. It's not very high. And thought, well, we'll see the car and we'll come down to it. But guess what? For those of you who have done such a silly thing, if you're up on a hill and your car is in a forest, you don't see it. So we had no idea where this car was. We really had no idea. And we were going this way and that way, and we were getting so cross with one another. And anyway, and we had to go out for dinner that night, so we just had to find this car. And we finally said, thought, well, okay, we'll just run, go to the road and hitch a lift. So we dashed to the road and we put our thumbs out. And first, big Land Rover looking thing stopped. And you never guess who was in it. The door opened and it was the warden of the forest. Now, I ask you, you know, that was a zooming thing. God zooming in. It could have been anybody, but it was the warden of the forest. And he said, where is your car? We said, oh, it was by a shed somewhere. He took us straight to the shed, and there was our car. Now, that to me is a big miracle, you know, and so I keep telling people. Another miracle, though, which I want to tell you. Last year, it's quite a few, you know, I went through a very bad patch, and one day, 1st of June, I know the date, 1st of June, I was feeling really, really very, very rotten. And I was thinking, what do I do now? It was a Sunday evening, and I thought, what shall I do? Shall I ring for an ambulance, or shall I try and get in touch with some of my medical friends, or what shall I do? And I was just sitting and thinking, what shall I do? And the phone went, and I answered the phone. And the voice said, Joan, are you all right? And I said, no, Roshni, I'm not. And she said, I'm sitting outside your gate. Would you like me to come in? Thank you, Roshni. Now, you know, that was God speaking. That wasn't God encouraging me, but it was God sending an angel. I call these my angels. In fact, I said to the warden of the forest, you're an angel sent from God. He thought I was crazy. I'm sure he thought I was crazy, but I did say that to him. And it was, you see, I'm sure it was Roshni thinking, June's not well, I'll just ring her. Just at that precise moment. So God comes in and he encourages us. Or he speaks to us and gives us a job to do, as he gave Roshni a job to do. And you know, one can go through, so many people have heard God's voice, not maybe heard it, but felt God telling them to go and do something for him. Maybe big things, maybe small things. A friend of mine was telling me the other day that when he was in his teens, he used to get terribly depressed. And he, one day he got on his bike and he just cycled out to the nearest town, and it was pouring with rain, so he went under one of the awnings of one of the shops, and he was standing underneath the awning of the shop and obviously feeling very down. And somebody came up to him. It was dark. He said it was dark. And a man came up to him and said, God bless you. And this friend of mine, who doesn't weep, I saw tears in his eyes when he was telling me this 70 years later. There was a message of comfort for him, but also the messenger had done the thing that God wanted him to do, which was to say, God bless you. So people have experiences. And they vary. They may be the big experiences, but they may be just the little thought. Go and do something. Go and see somebody. Phone someone. God gives us jobs to do for him, and God encourages us from time to time. Now, I'm aware of the fact that for most of the time, you know, we are looking for guidance and maybe wanting God to speak, wanting God to tell us where to go, what to do, what job to take, what course to do. And we don't hear this voice. You know, I'm aware of that. But just hang on to the precious times, the times when God does speak, and God does give us something to do. You know, I read a book called Chasing Shadows by the late Rabbi Hugo Grin. He was a lad in the Holocaust and lost most of his family in Auschwitz. And in this book, he writes of it, Chasing Shadows. And in that, he speaks of a time, I can't recall the details now, where he suddenly had an amazing, in the middle of all this horror in which he found himself, he suddenly was aware of the presence of God. As a result of that, when he finally did manage to escape, he became a rabbi. So when God either zooms into your life or whispers into your ear, just recognize his voice. Recognize his voice. Know that it is God. You know, when I told a colleague of mine once about one of my amazing experiences, and he was a cynic. I think he still is, unfortunately. But anyway, he was a cynic. And he said, oh, yes, Joan, but I also get experiences like that, coincidences. Now, I suppose it's, do you call them coincidences? Or do you take it that it's God speaking to you? So recognize his voice. If we don't recognize his voice, then there's nothing we can do. God can't use us. God can't encourage us. Recognize his voice. Recognize it as God speaking. And then, of course, do what he asks, as Abraham and Moses did. If we follow Jonah's pattern, we might find ourselves in the belly of a whale. But do what he asks and accept his encouragement. There's nothing God will ask you to do which he doesn't give you the help to do it. If God gives you a job to do, he gives you his spirit to help you to fulfill the task. And he gives you peace, as he said to Mary, as Gabriel said to Mary, peace be with you. And if we follow what God wants us to do, we will never be the same. We will never be the same, and the person to whom God has sent us will never be the same. So God be with you, each one of you, and bless you, and make you a blessing.